Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Richard Porter.
I'm Johnny Smith.
And this is Smith & Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars, and this week, the wacky races. I need to start this week with an apology again.
Oh, blimey.
Not about Apple not uploading last week's show, because they did that bang on time. Thanks, Apple.
Cheers, guys. Cheers, Apple.
Cheers. Thanks, guys. Great guys. Yeah, cheers. Yeah. The show last week, I kept saying that there's a shortage of superconductors that's affecting the car industry, and that's obviously bollocks. Cars don't generally have superconductors in them. That's something else. I meant semiconductors, and quite a lot of people have been in touch.
Semiconductors. So hang on, is that someone that controls an orchestra of not quite erections?
If you like. What a wholesome thought.
Yeah, well, that would be if Eurotrash was still in existence, that would be in the Netherlands somewhere. That would be and you're banned if you get a full erection during the performance.
Now, also something we didn't talk about last week that I realised we just sort of completely glossed over was
it's not like us.
It was the Goodwood Revival, which I didn't go to, but you did.
Yeah,
the Revival. How was it?
It was wonderful. I only went for a day, and it was actually a day off. I tried to take a day off, but obviously still loaded it with car content. And I just thought, I won't film, I won't do anything. I got a late opportunity to go down there, and it was very kind of Ineos to say, do you want to come down for a day? We'll give you a hospitality, and you can have a toilet really close to the pit wall, which is a crucial element, I'm going to say.
Well, at our age, you can't be too careful.
It's not that. It's a case of, A, I know I was massively tired, so I was guzzling coffee all day, which means I was pinching the tip for a lot of the time. And so on the one hand, listening to thundering V8s and like screaming sixes is wonderful. But you do have to sort of hop, skip and jump in period attire over to the lavs. So it was, and the weather was good. And to be honest, it's one of those shows that I do go there to meet people. But at the same time, I like going there to just look at and listen to the cars. I'd be quite happy to go on my own and not say anything to anybody. I know that sounds really antisocial because people do want to chat. But
I'm wearing a vintage RAF uniform, but I've got a massive badge that says, I have a sore throat, leave me alone. What did you wear, out of interest?
You know what I wear. I wear the same thing or similar.
Did you wear the sort of greaser thing?
Yeah, of course I did. Oh. I was always going to go as a sort of more beatnik. I'd say more beatnik this time.
Okay.
So let's say mid-60s, sort of 64, 65, early Beach Boys.
Okay.
Levi's Stay Pressed, Converse All Stars. I've had one of my highly flammable polyester racing jackets, which are correct for the era.
Okay.
Which luckily no one was smoking near me.
Which is inauthentic, actually, because if it had been 1964, everyone would have been smoking near you.
That's true. And I would have probably, splashed some sort of race fuel up one arm accidentally while I was talking to somebody or eyeing up a chick. That's what would have happened, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So don't come too close. I'm covered in five star.
That's right. So I did that. Yeah, no, it was good because a lot of people do, as we said before, they do go in the sort of period military attire, which is, I suppose, seems to be the sort of more accepted form of regalia. But I have to say, great.
On the socials, I saw a picture of somebody, a mate of mine just put a picture of someone they know, who'd gone as sort of more of a naval look, but with a big roll neck jumper. And I thought, now that's a look. And that's something for me to ponder next time I'm going to the revival.
I would do that as long as the roll neck wasn't wool, because my neck would just be ablaze. I'd be itching and stretching the neck of my sweater all day.
Yeah, that's true, actually. I'd be the same.
But I'd probably have a distraction in the form of a pipe that I would never light. I would just constantly hold it at the right angle. And you know the angle I'm talking about, because you'll be doing it with your hands as you're listening.
Yeah.
It's that pipe stance. And that's the perfect opportunity to put one leg up on a pile of spare period race tyres in the pits.
Yes.
While some guy's tuning the carbs on an E-type, you've got one leg up.
Or the wheel of an open-wheel racer.
Oh,
even.
Yeah, looking
or any
down.
Car, really. But just, yeah.
One leg
on
up.
The pipe. But as you're saying, you'd like to go to revival and just look at the cars, not talk to anyone. If I had the pipe, I'd want to talk to as many people as possible. And what I'd want to do is I'd remove the pipe from my mouth, use the mouthpiece as a sort of gesturing tool, and start most of my sentences with, "Now look here."
Oh, I got an idea. You could have, so when it turns to dusk, like one of the last races of the day is often a lights on dusk race.
Yes.
Because it's not a real pipe, you could put a laser pointer in the mouthpiece of the pipe. So you've added a smidge of technology, and therefore, when you're pointing at things, when you're saying, "Oh, I've really noticed the way that you've set up this car. Very interesting collector on the exhaust manifold." And you point with the pipe, and the pipe also has a laser in it. So
and the
people,
laser comes out.
The laser comes out, and people go, "Hang on a minute." And it's confusing. People don't want to stop the conversation, but at the same time, they're going, "He's pointing with the pipe. It's got a laser." Yeah.
Yeah. Be careful not to activate the laser whilst you've got the pipe in your mouth, because over time it may slowly burn off your uvula.
That's true.
Just a thought. I mean, I don't know if that's possible. I may be confusing real life with a cartoon, but it feels like something that might happen. So,
well, actually, it's funny you should say confused with the cartoon, because I was going to start this podcast talking about... My daughter asked me yesterday... she said, what sort of cartoons and shows did you like watching when you were a kid? And I sort of sat there and thought, I said, I particularly used to enjoy older cartoons, so cartoons that were old when I was a kid, mostly the Hanna-Barbera ones. So I always liked old Scooby-Doo because it was consistently creepy. My wife chimed in and said, she said the thing about Scooby-Doo, old Scooby-Doo, is the storyline is exactly the same every time. Yeah. And there's always, they go, "Oh, let's go for like a funky day trip in our cool van." And it suddenly gets very dark very quickly. And they go into a ghost town or like, I don't know, a hamlet that's surrounded by bog. And you go, "Well, how did you find that? And what's the deal with your sat nav? It's absolutely screwed." So there's that. So it goes from being maybe an idyllic day out to just something very sinister. But also, not very many people live in that village or town, and there's always one person who obviously wants to control something.
Yeah.
And they always wear masks. There's never a non-masked baddie. It's always a mask.
Yes.
But so I said, that's cool. And then I went on to suddenly go, and there was this thing called Wacky Races, which I really, really enjoyed because it had loads of weird cars in it. And she stopped me and she said, "Did you just say Wacky Racists?" And I said, "No, that's..." I said that, I mean, I know it was a long time ago, but it definitely wasn't a cartoon called Wacky Racist. And then I brought up Wacky Racist, you know, the intro, just to show her that A, there was nothing racist in it, and B, that all the different vehicles, and I forgot the names of them. Do you remember any of them?
That's a good one.
Could you name any of them?
Well, I was going to say the Cozy Coupe, but I think that's that kid's toy that everyone has, isn't it? That's not it. It was the...
There was a coupe. There was a something coupe.
The Arkansas Chuggerbug.
Ah, yes.
Is that right?
There was one called the Arkansas something, yes.
Peter Perfect was in...
Yeah, cool, you're good. He was the guy with the chin.
Yeah, but what was his car called?
I think it was the Turbo Terrific.
Yes.
And it was like a dragster.
Yes, you're right.
And he had a huge chin and a massive helmet, not like that.
Yes.
And then there was the
Penelope Pitstop had a... Was that the something coupe?
I don't know what the name of Penelope's car was. I do know that the thing that was a coupe was the Gruesome Twosome in the Creepy Coupe.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember the gruesome? Because they were the ones. One guy's got like a bowl cut and you can't ever see his eyes.
Yeah.
And the coupe is a haunted house on wheels that's constantly surrounded by bats. Which is which always makes me laugh.
Quite useful, because the bats could perform a sort of, you know, rudimentary parking sensor duty. Or in fact, forward-facing radar for enhanced high-speed
Hang on, so safety. are you saying that Elon Musk is going to put a tweet out in a couple of months saying the new radar is a cluster of bats?
Yeah, he probably will.
Does that mean you can't sell your car afterwards because there's evidence of bats living around it?
Yeah, you can't touch it.
So you have to just park it at the end of your garden and leave it forever.
Yeah, forever. I'm now mentally working through who else. The gangsters.
Yes. Do you remember them?
I do. I cannot. The Anthill Mob.
Yeah, God, you are good. Are you using Google?
What was the car called? I promise you, I'm not, because I was going to cheat in a minute. Well, not cheat, but look it up, because I need to know the answers to the ones I can't get. I feel like maybe people are listening to this going, "You friggin' idiot!" It was called the Boston Strangler.
You know, I think the car was called something like the Big Bomb or the
was it
the Bolt? Yeah.
Shall I take to the internet?
Yeah, the Army Surplus Special, which was the half tank thing.
Oh.
Do you remember that?
I've forgotten about that, yeah.
Yeah, which would always look dreadfully slow. You had... Oh, this one always makes me laugh because the guy driving it has just a horrific comb-over. Is Professor Pat Pending the inventor in the converter car?
Oh, yes.
Which is the thing that could do a bit of everything, couldn't it? And
yes.
He would just invent solutions to whatever problems they had.
There were more characters in this than I...
Oh yeah, there's more. Oh yeah, it's like UB40. There's more there's more members of the Wacky Racists than UB40 members, band members.
Okay, absolutely. So this is off Wikipedia. From the top, Dick Dastardly had the Mean Machine.
Yes.
The Slag Brothers Rock and Gravel had the Boldermobile.
That's it, the Boldermobile. Yeah, Gravel. And they were called the Gravel and Rock. One was called Gravel. One was called Rock.
Yeah. So, Gruesome Twosome.
Yeah.
Tiny and Bella, they were called.
Were they?
Yeah, Tiny was the big one and Bella was the little one.
Gosh, I never knew their names.
In the creepy coupe, so you got that one. Professor Pat Pending was in the converter car. The Red Max, do you remember him? He was like the Red Baron, basically, wasn't he?
Oh, bloody hell, I didn't remember him.
I love it when Wikipedia is sort of wonderfully po-faced about silly things. In the description for the Red Max, it says his vehicle is able to fly, although only for short distances in ground effect. And there's a hyperlink to ground effect if you want to read more about that.
Well, as in it sort of
bounces. When you go to look up the Wacky Races, you love to get down a rabbit hole of aerodynamics. the Red Max's car was called the Crimson Hay Baler. Wouldn't have got
amazing,
that
amazing.
What now, about Penelope Pit Stop?
Yeah.
Her car was called the Compact Pussycat.
Was it really?
I wouldn't have got that. Yeah, I wouldn't have got
that. I'm going to write this down. Do you know, that's going to be a Doja Cat song coming out imminently. You know it will.
The Army Surplus Special you got. The drivers, again, wouldn't have got this at all. Sergeant Blast and Private Meekly.
Oh, we've got that. I remember the Buzzwagon. The Buzzwagon.
Yes, Rufus Roughcut.
Yeah, was he the beaver?
Yeah, can you remember what the beaver was called for 20 points?
Something cut.
No.
Wasn't it?
Good guess. Sawtooth.
Sawtooth, that's it.
And the car was called the Buzzwagon.
The Buzzwagon.
Peter Perfect in the Turbo Terrific, you got that. Arkansas Chuggabug was driven by Lazy Luke and Blubber Bear.
Were they hillbillies?
Yes.
Isn't it funny how, I mean, I will have watched, and sure you were, because this came out in the late 60s, so I will have watched it in the mid-80s,
yeah.
I'm guessing late 80s, and it was still really funny. And then I went on to say to my daughter, there was a spin-off show from memory called Catch the Pigeon.
Yes, that was just Dastardly and Muttley, wasn't it?
That was Penis, Bastardly and Smutley, yeah. And what was weird about that was I was convinced it was called Catch the Pigeon, and I looked it up and it's called Stop the Pigeon.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. So, but I thought it was all about catching. No, apparently it's all about stopping.
Stopping.
Yeah.
It takes on a sort of, like the pigeon was attempting to commit an act of terrorism or something.
Well, what was the pigeon? Why was the pigeon so...
I don't know.
Because Dick Dastardly risked everything to catch the pigeon.
So
I mean, I hate pigeons. I think they're twats. But
no, fair enough. I mean, just, you know, they could have just shot him, but it never seemed to occur to them, did it?
Shoot the pigeon. One episode only.
Yeah, poison the pigeon. Using poison. La la la. Job done. Series over. Episode one.
Weirdly, I found a dead racing pigeon when we went on holiday the other week.
Oh, did you? Are you supposed to do something with those? Because obviously they're a bit different to your commoner garden. Dirty.
Yeah, it was bad because it's when I went on the camping trip without my wife. We walked into town and I'd booked a takeaway from the Indian restaurant, which was wonderful. But just outside the door to the Indian restaurant on the road, unfortunately, it looked like a racing pigeon had landed just to peck at a bit of sausage roll or something and then got instantly compacted. So there was a squashed pigeon with quite a prominent ankle bracelet, whatever you call them. You know, the ones. And I felt a bit bad because I thought, oh, that could be someone's pride and joy.
And potentially quite valuable, aren't they, as well, those pigeons?
But it's
a bit unprofessional on the pigeon's part to get distracted by a bit of food. I mean, surely they're supposed to be like, they're the elite athletes of the pigeon world, aren't they? They're just focused on the job in hand, I think.
Well, unless it was Dick Dastardly, and of course he was driving really fast through the town in an Audi SQ7 and just decided to take out the pigeon after he just sprayed bits of hot sausage roll all over every road nearby.
Yeah. Mm. You do get a lot of Dick Dastardlys driving Audi SQ7s, don't you?
I've seen a few Dick Dastardlys. Yeah, they're like a synthesised tailpipe.
Just to wrap this up, the final entrance in the Wacky Races was the Anthill Mob. And you're right, their car was called the Bulletproof Bomb. The gangsters were called Clyde, Ring-a-Ding, Rugbug Benny, Mac, Danny, Kirby and Willy, which...
Really? Much attention to detail in the old Hanna-Barbera cartoon world of the
60s. Do you know, it's one of my long-time fantasies, is that if I could work in any other era of television at any other studio, it would have been at Hanna-Barbera in the late 60s.
Would it?
Partly. Well, apart from the else, I imagine they were all just off their heads the whole time. They must have been. You look at some of the stuff and you just go, how much acid were they claiming on expenses? It's like,
yeah,
they're very zany, aren't they? But
it is
here,
zany.
Do you want me to slightly blow your mind?
Yeah.
Not with acid,
please.
But with,
yeah,
with facts. Guess how many episodes of the Wacky Races they made?
Oh, is this going to be one like the Fawlty Towers where there's only like 8 of them?
Yeah.
And everyone thinks that it was on forever.
But it's 12 episodes of Fawlty Towers, I know that. They made more episodes of Wacky Races.
I'm going to say they made 25 episodes.
They made 17.
Is that all?
But each episode was actually 2 stories. So 34 in total, but it condensed.
But is that it?
Yeah. 17 episodes of 20 minutes, and it was 2 10-minute stories per ep. So,
bloody
and that's
hell.
It.
I now want to know what catch/stop the pigeon might have been.
Hang on, I'm going to go to...
We refer to Muttley on a weekly basis in our house. Well, me and my wife
what?
Do behind the kids' backs.
Now, hang on a sec.
What?
It seems like it wasn't called Stop the Pigeon. It was called Dastardly and Muttley in Their Flying Machines. And in the UK and Ireland, it was just called Dastardly and Muttley.
Was it?
Yeah.
So it wasn't called Catch or Stop the Pigeon?
The original working title of the show, according to Wikipedia, was Stop That Pigeon. The peppy and memorable theme song by William Hanna and Joseph Barbera, based on the jazz standard Tiger Rag, has a chorus that repeats the phrase Stop the Pigeon 7 times in a row.
Yeah, and it does. Blimmin' love it.
Again, they made 17 episodes of it, which divided up in each episode was in two stories.
If you do get a chance, listeners, go and watch the intro to Wacky Races on YouTube, but also note the logo and the font of Wacky Races. It's wonderful. And that's what I dig with Hanna-Barbera. And I say dig because you have to probably say that when you're referring to any Hanna-Barbera cartoon, because it's very much of that period. Because if you think about it, you've got the Jetsons, you've got Flintstones, where they drove around in a stone car using foot power, didn't they?
Yeah.
But yet they had drive-in movies and things like that, and the technology of which was sort of glossed over. But I do love the Flintstones. I love Hanna-Barbera. Scooby-Doo. Look at the Mystery Machine. It's legendary.
So the Hanna-Barbera... I'm just looking at Hanna-Barbera and where their studio was, because I'm just thinking in the late 60s and into the early 70s, when I think they were probably at their creative peak and their most zany.
Yeah.
But imagine the size of their flared trousers as a production team, the animators.
Oh, so much surplus material.
I'm just trying to work out where. I think they were based in Los Angeles, but let's hope it wasn't on the coast, because I just imagine it would have been lethally dangerous for the Hanna-Barbera animation team to go anywhere windy.
Oh, well, they would have started. Yeah, they would have been taken off. Some of them would have never been seen again.
Yeah.
Especially if they had jackets on too. They would have turned into those, you know, those bats that can fly from one tree to another.
There's a picture here, again on Wikipedia, on the Hanna-Barbera page of the outside of their studio.
Oh, but it's awesome.
Yeah, it must be the 60s. It's mega. It's just the entrance, but it's got one of those signs that it could be a motel sign. You know the ones where it's a...
Yeah, sort of jaggedy, googie style.
No, it's like, imagine... I mean, it's a hexagon. Okay. But it's a squashed hexagon, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it would be a sort of boring rectangular sign, but possibly as an indication of the times that it was designed and erected in, they've gone, oh, that's boring, man, let's make a difference. So it's actually got, you know, a sort of... The upper and lower sides have, in fact, two sides. I'm describing this incredibly badly, but...
You are.
But it's basically, just imagine a hexagon and then imagine it's squashed...
Yes.
Until it's almost rectangular, but not quite, and then it's put on poles. That's what it's like.
Is Hanna-Barbera still in existence? Or did it get swallowed up by Disney?
Yeah, I think
Disney
they were swallowed up, and then yeah.
Disney hasn't got the charisma of Hanna-Barbera.
Oh, they were bought by Warner Brothers, apparently, and Cartoon Network Studios, so...
Okay.
Yeah.
What would you drive if you had to enter the wacky races today? What would you drive?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, what would I drive if I lived my fantasy life of working at Hanna-Barbera in 1968?
Okay, well, answer me both.
Well, I don't know enough about American cars of that era, so I'm just thinking something really massive, but one of those huge coupes with open, you know, no B-pillar.
I would recommend you, of that era, something that's very much a land yacht, which is a C-body, Mopar C-body, which were nicknamed the aircraft carriers. Mm. You could get a two-door one of those, and the cabin is so comedically small, like there's no legroom or anything, but it's a 20-foot-long car. Get a Chrysler 300C of that era.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Which would be... It's got the same front end, from memory, as the Plymouth Satellite and stuff like that. But it's not really muscle. It's sort of gentleman's Express.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
When did the... Wait, so... Well, if I can go forward in time a little bit.
Yeah.
To the early 70s, then maybe I'd have a Boatel Riviera, because I love those. But they didn't come out till 71, did they?
Was it 71, 73, I'm trying to remember.
They weren't very long-lasting, were they? Because people didn't like it at the time, and I think now they're really stylish. But
I could have my Dodge Charger, but brand new.
Yes.
And I'd be wearing a massively flared polyester suit.
Yes.
Smoking with the window, with the quarter lights open, trying to fathom out...
All of the... I mean, your Dodge doesn't have air conditioning. Did it ever have air conditioning?
No. That one
so
didn't.
All the windows down then?
Make the most of the pillarless. I'm trying to light a cig whilst obviously manually shifting in traffic.
Yeah.
Because it's heavy breathing traffic at the time of the morning. I've left my apartment, which is that lovely pebble stone that looks a little bit like the Flintstones era.
Okay.
With maybe a little fountain out the front. And but I've forgotten to have breakfast. I've got to stop by somewhere en route to get something for breakfast because I'm not at the level where I've got a PA who'll bring me breakfast yet.
I don't know. I think you're fine. You're just going to have cigarettes for breakfast. Strong coffee.
Is it tobacco for breakfast?
Then probably some acid or some marijuana or something. Casting aspersions on the work ethic of Hanna-Barbera in the late 60s. I mean, they did turn out the cartoons. I presume they weren't actually on drugs. It just creatively, it seemed like they were very, very laterally.
No. And no one had anybody got fat by then? Because
no,
it was more about
the cigarettes.
Yeah, uppers and downers, cigs, and just constantly sort of chasing the creativity rather than thinking about eating. So
It's just a kind of thinness you don't get anymore, which is probably also because our diets have got better.
More comprehensive.
Yeah, we do generally eat better now, don't we? But I was going to say, change the subject, since you mentioned having no interior room, I'm currently driving a borrowed Fiat 500e, which I know you've driven and reviewed on the Late Break Show.
Yeah.
And there's a lot about it that I like, but there's nowhere to put my left foot.
No, I think you're right. It's one of those
really
cars.
Really odd.
There's no foot plate.
I was convinced that there must be something I could move out of the way, and there isn't. It's just like, and then I thought I'll just move my left foot over, and then I realised I was sort of under the
brake
pedal.
It's a bit like the Audi R8 Roadster.
When I last borrowed an R8 convertible, I couldn't fit in it properly.
No, it's quite a hard car.
Wonderful car to drive, but I couldn't fully enjoy it because if you're tall, I was working at the Grand Tour office at the time, and I got a bunch of the people from the office to come out who are all different heights to try it out. And I think we figured out that the maximum height at which you could get comfy in that car and really enjoy it was about 5'8" or 9".
Mm. Which is weird, given it's a German car.
Yeah, the Germans don't normally...
They don't do that.
That.
No.
That's something else I'm not totally keen about with the 500e. You can't drop the seat enough, or at all, actually, I think, in the one I've got. And it's not...
What, boot, as in the back, for boot space?
No, you can't
drop it down.
So you sit too high, and I actually feel, although because the ceiling is domed because of the design of the car, I've plenty of headroom,
domed?
But my head is sort of in the dome.
Dome.
And so I feel like I'm sort of peering out from under a dome somehow. It's like I just... For
is it one of
car,
those clear plastic
across...
umbrellas that ladies walk around
needs.
In Tokyo?
It needs a clear bubble roof, like something from the Wacky Races.
The lack of adjustment on the seat I do remember, because it's the same as... I've recently got a new long-term test car, which is another EV. It's the Zoe. The ZE50 Zoe. And a lot of people take the Michael out of the Zoe, and I think it gets an unfair... Yeah, I think it's an easy target for people to bully you in, because, in the words of my wife, bully number one, she said, it's the sort of car that a middle-aged woman buys, isn't it? Especially in that colour, the colour that mine had been supplied in.
And what colour is yours?
Well, it's like an ice blue.
Oh, I know that one, yeah.
Like a high metallic ice blue. And I said, colour's colour. It's like, who cares? But it's a really good car. Apart from, and there's a few little things that annoy me about it, it's this: you can't drop or lift the seat.
Yeah.
And it sits, because it's a Renault, it sits naturally high. So for tall people like you and I feel like I'm sat on the roof of it rather than in it. But then I thought, well, hang on, everyone buys crossovers these days anyway, and they apparently want to be high. And I've just started to change my driving position through necessity. And I've realised, I feel like I'm sitting a little higher. Maybe I'm a bit more in control. But I've got to say, the Zoe's a damn good as an EV and as an electric mid-sized car. It's really good.
Yeah,
good
I remember
battery.
Liking the Zoe when I drove it. It's just a neat little car, isn't it? And it works pretty well. So it's funny you say about sort of cars that you get no respect in. Because that.
Nobody gives me respect in the Zoe. It's unfair.
Yeah, I've got this Fiat I've borrowed is a light blue, and you do sense that in any given sort of London situation where you either yield or someone yields to you.
Yield. Good.
Vans
good
and
good
people
use.
In SUVs just bully their way through. They assume you're going to give way because you look sort of fey. You're in a fey car and you're not going to put up a fight. And it's quite interesting. Conversely. it's amazing that Porsche 992 that I came to the Late Break Live the other week in.
Yeah.
I was amazed at how people get out of the way of that on the motorway. And I wonder if it's that because it's got those current
it's
Porsche.
Wide.
Do you think? I think it's because those Porsche now do those daytime running lights that are four sort of pinpricks of light.
Oh, yeah, they're really intense, aren't they?
And they're quite intense and they're quite striking. And I think people, it just catches people's eyes in the mirrors of cars in front and they sort of go, oh, and
they think you're an emergency vehicle momentarily. Oh,
maybe. I don't know.
That's what they do, isn't it? But no, well, I know exactly what it is. One of those cars which I think a lot of people don't consider. But yeah, the electric motor and the battery and the range and the tech on board is probably better than a lot of its peers. That's what
I remember. Where were we? It was when we were at Goodwood that you said to me, oh, there's a facelifted Zoe over there. You should look at the interior. It's much better now. And I did go and have a look and you were right. It is much better, isn't it? It's way... Because it was a bit... It was a bit too minimalist, perhaps, on the original Zoe. Like, it felt slightly basic.
And, it did. It did.
And I noticed they've sort of zhuzhed it up quite a lot, so fair play.
And the tech lift on it, if we're going to talk tech lift rather than facelift.
Tech lift?
Yeah. What I would
say, people really say tech lift?
I do. I've started to say it. Yeah. Okay. Because sometimes, because a car like the Zoe doesn't look really any different, but they've made more of an effort with the cabin and the tech. And the good thing about the tech lift of it is the fact that it's genuinely evolved in a positive, useful way, rather than just throwing more complexities into the game and thus annoying the driver, which seems to happen increasingly now. So I like it. I like it. But they've definitely focused on the front part of the cabin. The rear seats are very basic and there's not a lot for rear passengers. And the boot is very... There's nothing going on in the boot. There's no attractive furnishings at all. They've put all the money into the dashboard of the steering wheel and the front seats. But I don't mind that because that's where I spend all my time. I tend not to sit in the boot and I don't really care what my children think. So it's okay. But I've done some really long miles in it. I've done loads of really long journeys in it. I've managed to eke out a lot of efficiency from that bad boy. So I'm sort of quietly smug about it. Yeah, I'm quietly smug.
That's something else that's not quite right about. Sorry, I think that the Fiat is a decent car, and I think I like the design. Like the interior feels actually quite high quality and quite nice. But the if you have it in one of the modes where you can do one pedal driving, which I always quite enjoy in EVs.
Yeah,
it does very aggressive regen. I don't know if you noticed this.
Yeah.
And it's really clunky coming to a stop. It is like a learner driver
nips.
Who hasn't learned to modulate the brakes. It sort of feels like it's standing on its nose. And you can sort of try and mitigate it a little bit by being very gentle off the accelerator. But otherwise, it's a bit crude, I thought. Other cars do it better. It feels just it's a calibration issue. And they haven't quite got it right.
They've got the interior right, but also they've got that very strange chime or like boot up sound.
Yes,
which
I remember
you
telling me about
off,
this.
Doesn't it sound like a slightly creepy funfare?
Yes,
it does, doesn't it?
Yeah, or an unsettling chime. Heralding an announcement on a railway station somewhere abroad.
Yes, it's a foreign railway station announcement. It's that. When I ever think of a slightly sinister funfare scene, I always default to, is it the beginning of Octopussy with the clown running away from some assassins?
Yes.
And basically like running through loads of people with a worried look on his face. I watched that film quite young.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
And I remember that opening scene where the clown gets murdered up against the window of the restaurant.
Yeah.
Which is right next to the fun fair. I'm trying to remember
yeah.
it.
It's
bloody
quite
scared the heebie-jeebies out of me. Yeah, because yeah. it's suddenly I thought fun fairs were all about fun, and suddenly it's all gone a bit Scooby-Doo. You know, like, oh, actually it's not a fun fair. It's where an old man wants to entice children and then murder them. Oh, okay, that's not quite as fun anymore, is it? So I remember that, but there's definitely tones of that on the Fiat 500 start up and boot down sequence.
It's a bit strange, isn't it?
I'd like someone to put together a real montage of all the silly jingles that cars have now got when you start and stop them. Not just EVs, because there's
yeah, because Kias make a big old noise, and sometimes Kias, it plays as you switch off, but the stereo's still going, and it just clashes horribly with the music coming out of the stereo, and it's just.
It's like a mix that isn't quite working.
Well, yeah, because it's two bits of music that are in different keys and it just sounds hideous. It's like an orchestra.
Sort of thing that Scooter
up.
Would do.
Yeah. Actually, speaking of the Zoe, did you see last week Citroën UK announced that they're going to bring that little AMI quadricycle to the UK?
Yeah.
And a lot of people on social media were getting very excited about this. Well, specifically car journalists, who I presume have driven it. I know you've driven it. I was going to ask you what you thought.
Well, it's one of my most successful videos.
Yeah, and I know you liked it.
I dig it a lot, but I'm under no illusions as to where it sits, I think, who might have any chance of wanting to own it or drive
it. I think it's like no one. I mean, I know it's cheap.
I think it's a fleet car. That's the impression I get. It's not a car which lots of private owners are going to go out and buy. I think it's a car which app users, fleets, will buy. So they'll buy, let's say, 25 of them to use in the centre of London. And you'll have your app, you'll unlock it, it'll track how many miles you've driven in and obviously how long and then where you leave it. And it'll become the new Boris Bike Mafia vehicle, which I've seen in London a few times recently. Boris Bikes suddenly now attract gangs, and you see these really daft, indestructible sort of Lego Duplo bikes being ridden aggressively the wrong way down a one-way street. One of the guys in the gang is usually wheeling, and it's like a chevron of geese. You can't move around them because they're all coming at you. And it's a bit weird because you kind of chuckle, but at the same time you think, well, one of them's probably got a blade, so I'm going to move aside. But it's Boris Bike Mafia, isn't it? It's simple. You don't need to nick a moped. You don't need to nick a car anymore. You all just borrow a Boris bike and go and do illegal activity with it.
Well, you do have to pay for those bikes.
Yeah, they're not much, though, are they? Or are they?
I don't know. I've never used one, I'll be honest. It's funny, because I've never noticed that, but maybe it's because I live here, so I just sort of... It's just stuff that goes on. I'm not really... There are gangs of kids on bikes, but not on those renter bikes that I've spotted.
And you know those scooters which are obviously illegal, but people nail around on them and the police can't catch them anyway? Which I do think they're fantastic scooters, although, they're not legal. You can't really control them. There was a dude going down... When I took my lad down to the Back to the Future musical, there was a guy... there was a guy going down, I think it was the Strand, so one of the big streets in London, in the middle of the road with his ear pods in, as going it almost as flat out as this thing would go. But the back tire had come off the rim. So
what?
Yeah, so it was doing that really fast, aggressive shimmy. So he was in a death wobble.
Yeah,
but he was keeping the throttle pinned, and it was my son that noticed it first. He went, "That guy's going to completely come off. This back tire's broken. He seemingly hasn't noticed. He's just got his earphones in." And sure enough, he did it. Deadpan look on his face. I think he was like, "I'm not stopping. I'm late. I'm not stopping. Or I'm massively hungover. Or I'm a criminal and I'm trying to get away from something." Yeah. And my back tire's just—it looks like a sausage roll. And he was still keeping his foot in, as it were, or his hand
bloody
in,
hell.
His wrist in. It was amazing.
Also, if you're on a major thoroughfare through central London and you come off, there's a really good chance you'll just get run over by a bus or something.
Exactly.
It's a dicey environment in which to risk having a proper tank slapper and coming off.
It's vulnerable, isn't it? But can you imagine if Wacky Races was, like, urban Wacky Races was just highly modified e-scooters, which were illegal in the first place, app rental bicycles that nobody cares about.
Stolen mopeds.
Stolen mopeds, exactly.
And there's someone in a zip car.
And they're trying to roll a naughty cigarette whilst... like not quite following ways properly and getting really annoyed with the whole situation.
I've learned to. I mean, I'm quite glad a lot of those car clubs label up their cars, you know, with stickers down the side and stuff, because I've learned to give them a wide berth. It happened to me yesterday, actually. There was someone trying to come through a gap and they clearly were not really aware of the width of the Golf that they were driving imagined it to be, in fact, the width of a supertanker.
Really?
And it was all labelled up as a zip car, and I was like, "There's someone who's just borrowed this car. They don't drive a lot because they don't have a car of their own. Because that's why they're using zip car, which is fair enough. But then they're so panicky and out of their depth. And also, we take it for granted because we probably drive a lot of cars for our job. But if you don't drive a lot of cars and you get into a new car and everything's in a slightly different place, it is a bit of a stress, I think.
Yeah,
and
it is.
And then you've got to negotiate the kind of the cut and thrust of a city street. So, yeah, I see those zip cars and just go, oh, there's someone who's really pinging off the limiter of stress. And then just... do you know what? Talking of deflated tyres, do you ever see like someone who's just driving on a flat tyre in a car and you just go, do you know... do you care?
Oh, I've pulled
What's
one
the
over.
Story? Oh, I've you pulled, did, didn't you? I've, you talked yeah. about this before. Because I saw one a couple of days ago, a Smart 4-4, like the current shape one.
Yeah.
And one of the back tyres was flat as well. Because you can hear them coming, can't you? Is that
of course
noise?
You can. And it sounds like you've put 12 heavy wool Aran jumpers in a washing machine and then put it up to 1400 RPM. The thing's actually dancing across the kitchen. And you're like, oh shit, that it's gonna tear me, it's gonna tear itself a new one. The washing machine is just because of those jumpers. That's exactly what it is. Yeah,
that's a very good description. The worst one I ever saw was, and I'm pretty certain it was a Perodua Nipper.
Oh god,
Calisa, Perodua Calisa, coming out of a T junction that was slightly uphill, and one of the front tyres was flat as fuck, and they had to gun it to get out of the junction, and the wheel was rotating within the tyre because it was so baggy.
Seriously? I've never seen that.
What are you doing?
Well, you're driving a Perodua Calisa, which, again, that's a Eurovision entrant. Surely.
I always thought, no, that was a kind of... Perodua Calisa. What was that kind of music called at sort of in the 2000s?
Not two-step.
No, I can't remember. But anyway, a lot of call and response type stuff. Yeah, Perodua Calisa.
Did you say call and response?
Call and response.
Is it a bit like my best mate, DJ Khaled?
Yeah.
Which just shouts another one at the, like, and you have to ask him what exactly.
Another what? Yeah.
Another what? Bourbon biscuit? Well, he's just sat in a studio with a massive pile of Family Circle biscuits and not enough liquid.
He's got an assistant who just hands them to him.
So how long did it take you to produce this Rihanna album? Oh, it was 1,800 bourbons, that one was. So how much time is that? I don't know.
I don't know.
Just 1,800 bourbons.
Yeah, I measure time entirely in biscuits. That's all I do.
I forgot to say, maybe it was 2 or 3 weeks ago. I have to look it up on the internet. I think it was Cardiff or Newport Football Club had a Burberry style strip designed in conjunction with the Goldie looking chain. And I got forwarded it by loads of people because in all the social media and stuff associated with it, they had the Goldie looking chain Cavalier.
Oh yeah,
the Chavalier. And yeah. I was thinking, oh, this is a bit odd. I'm also wondering whether or not. Oh, here it is. It's Newport County. I'm just looking at walesonline.co.uk, a place I always go to. So Newport County's Goldie Looking Chain collaboration shirt. It's a guaranteed classic. Yeah, rap group Goldie Looking Chain revealed as the collaborators behind Newport County's new football strip. Yes, it's sort of like a knockoff of Burberry, which I don't know how they will have got away with that.
No.
And they've used some old photos, and one of those photos is me driving the Cavalier with about 10 girls on the roof with roller boots on. So yeah, interesting.
I think I've seen this picture.
Yeah, interesting before. Times. Interesting times.
Lovely trip down.
But it actually might mean that I possibly buy a football strip for myself.
I was going to say, you're entitled to one of these for nout because of your place in GLC history.
Well, it's a very small place in GLC history, but what I might do is I might buy one and put it in one of those box frames next to the GLC gold disc, which does sit to the right of my head every time I record this podcast.
I'm very
proud of that because it's the only gold disc I'm ever going to get in my life, unless you and I decide to release a single that we try and like get to number one for charity or something. And by some,
yeah, we could try.
I don't know what it would be. Hopefully it would be a little bit more tuneful than Three Brands on My Shirt by Badil and Skinner.
Under the stage name Prodigio Kalisa, perhaps.
It would be. Would it be a cover version of Who's Gonna Drive You Home by The Cars, for example? We could do like a drum machine version of that.
As long as it's an 80s drum machine.
Like a vocoder drum machine rendition.
Yeah. I mean, I'm starting to think that Prodigio Kalisa actually sounds like something out of Game of Thrones now I reflect on it. But either way, I liked the Prodigio Kalisa. I thought it was an amusing little car at the time. Are there any for slightly
sale
obsessed
right now?
With it. I bet there are. They were out there, weren't they? James May and I, when we were making Top Gear around that time that car came out, we borrowed one and we were slightly obsessed with it. And James was half thinking he might just go and buy one like on his Switch card because it was sort of $4,000 or something. And so you could, yeah.
Well, hang on. Next year will be the 20th anniversary of the Prodigio Kalisa in the UK.
What?
2002 it was.
Really? Well, apparently. I would figure then, because we started making Top Gear in 2002, and then, yeah, it was probably James was late, but
should we treat ourselves?
To a Kalisa?
Yeah, so should 2022 be Smith & Sniff and Kalisa? It could be a collab. You know, all these people are doing collabs these days, but just add another person at the end to Smith & Sniff.
Yeah, Smith & Sniff times Prodigio Kalisa.
I'm just typing in Prodigio Kalisa for
sale. Do you know
what?
Prodigio doesn't even come up on Auto Trader. They've dropped off there. Are you gone straight for the bay?
I've gone straight for Gumtree. There's one on Dirty Gumtree.
Is there?
There is one. And there's two. Hang on, there's one that's been... someone's painted it with Rust Effect paint.
Oh.
Oh my gosh, wow. Okay, they've painted it with Rust Effect to paint.
there's a fantastic one here for £5. 2005, Prodigio Kalisa EZI 5-door auto.
Oh my
parts
gosh.
Only, not vehicle, it says.
This is amazing. It says, this is a Malaysian-built version of the Daihatsu Quare.
Yeah.
This is not rust. It is a this is rust effect paint. Great fun to drive. Good interior. 1 litre twin cam three cylinder dump valve on exhaust. MOT October 21 was going
dump
to make
valve
it
on exhaust.
Yeah. It says it was,
but they weren't turbocharged. Were they?
Well, I don't understand what he's trying to say there. Yeah. Was going to make it into a five-door mini lookalike, but circumstances for sale. What circumstances? Circumstances of waking up and going, this is a terribly shit idea.
The circumstances of managing to find my medication again.
Okay, I will forward this to you. We'll put it on the Patreon.
I'm not seeing this one. Oh, because I've gone. Yeah, hang on.
I mean, it's amazingly odd. It's really odd.
The one thing that always annoyed me.
Sheets.
695 quid.
I'm going to forward it to you now, Rich.
Sort of more than I'd expect. The thing that used to annoy me about the Project Calista is that the front number plate was off to one side. I think to clear, presumably the rad is also offset.
It would have been offset rad, yeah. There's actually there's a really expensive one. There's a 2009 GXI.
Yeah, is this the one that's 1694? Oh, I've seen the one you're talking about, Rat Car. It's in Bradford as well.
Is it? But it says it's not rust. It's rust effect paint. But no one's going to buy that. But maybe we should. And then we should get it vinyl wrapped and talk about it on social media.
Yeah.
Shall we?
What colour should we wrap our Calista guys? It's got bonnet pins, this rust look one.
I'm wondering whether he has turbocharged it. He just has forgotten to tell anyone looking at the...
rust look paint. I suppose it is because it's on the bumpers, which are plastic. So it's
Okay. In the early days of rust paint, I was going to do that to a Vauxhall Monaro. And then I realised they just rust anyway. Yeah, I was. I was going to do like a Mad Max kind of like dust rust, slightly gnarly. I was looking for some time to buy a salvage damaged Monaro. I was looking for one that maybe someone had sort of driven up the side of a wall with slowly, so it wasn't. The drivetrain was still fine. I had this vision.
This is not the first time that you've said someone's driven up the side of a wall. I believe that this was your dream. For your ghetto Boxster was that it's mechanically perfect, but someone had driven up the side of a wall.
Yeah. It's
who
exactly
are these
the
people
same.
You believe that look after their cars, but then drive up the side of a wall? Is it the elderly? Is that what you're thinking?
Yes,
it's the elderly.
But elderly people tend not to own Vauxhall Monaros. The Monaro idea I had before Ghetto Boxster, but Ghetto Boxster is the same principle. It's like it's a fundamentally well looked after car mechanically for most of its life, and then they had to do a sort of swerve avoidance manoeuvre to let's say a deer.
Because someone in a zip car was coming the other way.
Someone in a zip car, and then immediately after the zip car was, what are those really small deer that are a little bit annoying? Muntjacs. There was a muntjac, and they had to swerve one way, then the other way, and then they...
What annoys you about muntjacs?
Well, because they're not a full commitment deer. That's what annoys me.
Well,
they're
like,
almost
like small dogs are sort of a bit.
Yes, it's not quite a full commitment. Yeah.
Yeah.
No offence if there's any muntjacs listening.
I beg your pardon. I had my settings on Auto Trader. I'd got a preset price for something else I was looking at the other day. I've reset my filters, and there are actually six Calistas on Auto Trader.
Are there six?
Yeah, I'm going in.
Okay, make it quick. What we
absolute
what we see?
Beauties here. 500 quid gets you into a Calista with 53,000 miles on it. It's private seller. It's in Southend.
Gosh,
it's
that's cheap.
It's an 03 plate. It's a 1 litre. I mean, I don't know what to say. It's got a dent in the boot lid.
That's old person spec.
This has got.
Yeah.
Selling for project or parts, needs a new exhaust, has no MOT, but does have a brand new battery and a clean interior. So,
do you know what? I could get a custom exhaust made in Essex before we left the county. And we could go for something quite hair-raising with the exhaust, possibly.
At the other end of the scale, there's one here for $2,000.
That's not going to be sold.
It's too much. They were really amusing to drive, that's the thing.
Because they're Daihatsu, and Daihatsus, I missed... I don't know if I've said this on the cast or on the old videos of S&S before, but I really miss Daihatsu. I think I did say it.
We have talked about this because were we not talking about what are they up to, and we discovered they're busy doing wonderfully odd things in Japan, and more power to them.
Oh, that's right. And we missed the fact that they didn't bring any of their cool, weird shit over here. That's what it was, wasn't it?
Because actually, if not a Prodigy, a Calista, I'll tell you what I really liked was that funny sort of doorstop shaped Charade. Do you remember the sort of early 2000s?
Yeah,
and they were mega. Genuinely, it was like a really amusing car to drive, and I just thought quite a good car because it had a really nice ride. They'd benchmarked, I remember this, they admitted in their bump, they'd benchmarked the Renault Clio as the sort of what they wanted their car to feel like in terms of its kind of comfort and its grown-upness, even though the Charade was a lot smaller and cheaper, so and probably a lot better made. But then I was driving one once that I borrowed, and I pulled into a car park, and there was a car park attendant, and he came over and tried to make me park in the disabled space because he believed that the Charade was, in fact, a car for a wheelchair user.
Is that true?
Yeah. And I went, no, mate, I'm not disabled. And he went, oh, sorry, I just...
That's really, amazing.
Really awkward situation. And it was entirely based on her, because he thought the car was some kind of, you know, he'd never seen one before, and he thought it was some kind of special, you know, sort of specially adapted, like the old blue Thundersley Invercars, you know.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
There's a few Charades, on Auto Trader. We could have one of those. They're more expensive, though.
Oh, this conversation has rekindled my thirst for a ghetto Boxster again. But sadly, I think it's not a good time to buy a second-hand car. Values are high, sky high. So even a shite Boxster is going to be $4,000.
We've had so many messages. I'm sorry, I haven't got around to reading any of them out. We've had so many messages from people who, after we mentioned We Buy Any Car and other car buying services, have been putting their car's details in to see, and have in many cases either been pleasantly surprised or have had the experience at Home My Defender where they go ultra lowball to get you to bugger off. But mostly it's people going, oh my God, I can't believe what my car's worth, according to them. I think some people even said, I've now sold my car to We Buy Any Car because I didn't realise they would give me so much for it. Interesting times.
Okay.
I have to reiterate, we're not in any way sponsored by or affiliated with We Buy Any Car. We just mentioned them, and apparently they're giving away money at the moment.
No. Well, we'd be affiliated with them if they let us do their adverts. but we don't, so there's that. Side of things, so I'm afraid no.
Talking of that side of things,
that is something you said this before we started recording. Neither of us can remember the first time it was mentioned, the original story behind Otsot on the podcast.
Well,
I don't know when.
Because I was telling you before we started recording that someone had messaged me and said, can you tell me when it was? Because I want to play that episode to my wife to try and explain to her why this
the context
this
of the madness.
Yeah. And I couldn't remember. It's sort of always been there. If anyone who's listening does remember, drop us a note and I'll pass it on to other people. But yeah, you might be surprised to know we don't maintain a scrupulously precise archive of everything we've done. We're a bit too disorganised for that. So,
I never listen back to the podcast, for good or for bad. I just don't. So I actually forget what the bloody hell I say until somebody messages us and goes, oh, I remember when you said about this, and we go,
way, as you get old and senile, maybe it'd be quite useful. You've got this kind of weird hard copy of your brain that you can refer back to.
That's a great idea. Hadn't thought of that.
I don't remember wanting a Boxster, but maybe I did.
I do want a ghetto Boxster.
Yeah. Oh, is this how I ended up with a rotten Perugia Calista at the bottom of my garden? it all started then. That's September 2021. Gosh, I don't know why I've given you a slight northern accent in your dotage,
but thanks for that, though. I like it.
Something to reflect on. Like those people who, you know, sort of have some kind of brain trauma and then suddenly find they can speak Welsh and stuff. It happens. Maybe. All right, well, it's probably a good time for us to wrap this up because I'm talking shit.
We're supposed to have done some listeners' letters again.
Oh, God, we're way past that. We'll do it next week, shall we? Oh, no, well, we might have something else quite good to talk about next week that we probably can't... Are we allowed to reveal? Oh, I don't know. We're going to go and see the new James Bond film, aren't we? So
we are.
That is not just for the podcast.
Yeah.
I'll leave it there.
Carrot dangler, there. You.
Carrot dangler. Hi, I'm Carrot Dangler. Welcome to America's Funniest Kittens. Okay, so before we go, I've got the usual three things to tell you. But first of all, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel called The Late Break Show, where there are many excellent videos. Barn Find Espada, Great Guns.
Yeah, people
very
are
good
liking
video.
That. Yeah, the plot thickens. I've had lots of threatening phone calls. Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah. It's now got very involved. People claiming that it's theirs, that it can't be sold because it's mine. And you're like, okay, prove it. I'm willing to tell the story. And then suddenly it gets quite quiet.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, if when you ever put on like a neighbourhood group, I found £20 in the street, and lots of people go, yeah, it's mine.
No, I had one of the siblings of the deceased estate phone me and say, I wish you'd come to talk to me rather than the other siblings because I'm the one that's got the keys and I know the owner. And I go, okay, who is the owner? Oh, I can't tell you that. It's all going through probate. Okay, who is the owner? And I won't go into it now because we've run out of time, but there's an Espada owner that's come forward who's in the club and obviously has had an Espada for about 20 years. And he said, I think I know exactly what that car is and who used to or is referring to used to owning it, but maybe does still own it, but can't legally say that they still own it. And I went, oh my gosh, Pandora's box has been well and truly crowbarred open.
Bloody hell.
Yeah. It's great. Ooh. Love it.
All right. Well, keep us posted.
It's like
that,
an episode of Emmerdale, but actually fascinating.
I was going to say, instead of the normal music, I'm going to end this with doom, 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 doom. EastEnders. Anyway,
what's going on? Oh, yeah. What's going on, Richard? What's going on? What's going on, Ed? You touched my Lamborghini, you're in the Asperger. What's going on? What am I supposed to think?
So, second thing I've got to tell you is that I've got various books out. One of them is called Boring Car Trivia Volume 2 with a foreword by TV's Jeremy Clarkson and lots of tedious facts in it. Volume 3 coming very, very soon.
It is.
And the third thing I have to tell you is that I can't find my notes. Oh, yes. Right, here they are. The third thing I have to tell you is that the guns of HMS Belfast on the River Thames are permanently trained on London Gateway services.
Are they?
They are. The services are about 11, 12 miles away, and that's the threshold of the gun's comfortable range. So when the ship, was first put into the Pool of London by Tower Bridge in the early 70s, they decided to elevate the guns to their sort of comfortable range and train them on what was then called scratchwood services because they thought it'd be good PR.
My gosh.
They have, as far as I'm aware, the custodians of HMS Belfast have no intention of destroying London Gateway services, so don't worry about that. There we go. Unless you know different, in which case, drop us a note. hello@smithandsniff.com is how you can contact us, or if you're one of our patrons, do it through Patreon.
Yeah, and on that note, thank you to everyone who is one. Much, much appreciated. And thanks to everyone who bothers to listen. It's heartwarming.
Yeah. Yeah, next week we'll try and do some listeners' messages, including a chap on Patreon who said, I don't think you read these, and we do, and he told a particularly amazing story about a runaway car, which we will read out next week.
Oh, what about the exploding smoothie? I've got to...
And the exploding smoothie will be read out
amazing,
as well.
Amazing.
And there's a few. So, bump starting anecdotes, a go-go, and with a side order of exploding foodstuffs. We've had quite a rich crop of messages. If you have anything to add to that, please do get in touch. But that is that for this. We will do all this again same time next week. Until then, goodbye.
Bye-bye, love you.
The softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.